Let's talk now to the CEO of the HSE, Paul Reid. Paul, save us a job from going to the website. Will these centres be open all week?
Morning, Audrey. Yeah, well, certainly from today, another further 26 centres are open all across the country. So I encourage everybody to look at our site, hse.ie, and just clarify the times today for those opening. We did plan to run them throughout the weekend. And as your reporter, Amy and Sinead from HSE, has captured very there, a huge success. Both in terms of atmosphere, but also in terms of uptake, because it has been part of our strategy of the last few weeks to really surge the uptake to the best extent we can. If you look just purely in the last 6 weeks, we've now administered 2.1 million vaccines administered in a six-week period. And if you contrast that with the start of the vaccination programme back in quarter one, just 1 million in 12 weeks in the first quarter. So I think it's captured really well, a really great success so far, but they are open today. Some centres are open all day, like the Aviva and Croke Park all day.
And so tomorrow and the rest of the week, will they all still be open or just some?
No, our vaccination centres continue as normal through appointments for the rest of the week. So this was just an initiative for walk-ins that we had from Friday until Monday, Bank Holiday Monday. What we are going to consider now is the use of walk-in centres at targeted times. Looking forward, but they were just a target initiative which has worked exactly as we would have liked it, in fact much better, particularly with the uptake on younger people.
Absolutely, and the next younger group, I suppose, is the 12 to 15 year olds. When will they be able to register?
Yeah, there's about 280,000 in total in these CSO census for that age group. What we're finalising this week in the next couple of days actually are three issues. First of all, the consent issues and how we manage the consent issues. So it's a key issue for us. Second issue is the communications, how we communicate on a national level and indeed on an individual level as young people come forward with their parents, a guardian. And thirdly, we have to make significant changes to the IT system to capture the guardian parents' details as well as the individuals. We do expect mid this week to make an announcement as to the actual date startup. But if it's not by the end of the next week, it'll certainly be early the following week.
Okay. And will those who are immunosuppressed or who are perhaps living with someone with an underlying condition, will they get priority?
Yeah, well, obviously the model in which we're going to implement the approach on this one will be, we expect a combination. We're talking with the pharmacies representative bodies, GPs representative bodies and vaccination centres. And certainly we do see that GPs and pharmacies can play a key role, particularly to prioritise some of those most vulnerable people and their children and that age group with certain complex needs. So we would like to see them being prioritised through the process. But equally, we think we can work through this, you know, and quite quickly based on everything we've been doing so far.
And secondary school restarts the last week of August. Will that cohort, will they all have their first jab by then?
Yeah, and our intention is to work through this really quickly and efficiently through August, all depending on the date that we start. But we will be aiming to maximise the vast majority of that uptake within that population through August. And then obviously second vaccination will take place through September. So it's just another exciting part of the vaccination programme, Audrey, overall. I think your Vox Pops, etc., have captured really well. And just to mention, I mean, I think young people have played such a key role in a very changing Ireland over the last number of years. And I actually think this weekend reflects another one of those moments.
And will this cohort, 280,000, will they be done in the vaccination centres, or are you planning the staggered closure of those centres now?
So for the 280,000 of the 12 to 15s, we expect it to be a combination of GPs, pharmacies, which have significant reach all across the country. Some vaccination centres utilised also. We are looking forward just in terms of the vaccination programme overall, particularly as we have to start commencing with boosters. And we are looking at the role of vaccination centres as part of that, and also GPs and pharmacies. So we do see a role for vaccination centres, but probably not at the scale that we've been operating 43 centres across the country. We'll continue that till we have everybody vaccinated.
Okay, let's talk about the hospital figures now, because unfortunately there are still people getting sick with COVID and needing hospital treatment. How many are in hospital because they're sick from COVID this morning?
Yeah, as of last night, we've 171 people in hospital with COVID and we've 26 in ICU. So, you know, we are still concerned about the you know, slowly, continuously rising numbers of hospitalised cases. I mean, 4 weeks ago, that was just at 39 people in hospital. It is at 171. So we're monitoring quite closely. You know, thankfully, we're beginning to see the daily case numbers kind of hold or plateau. But we have seen that steady rise in hospitalisations, which is a cause, continued cause of concern for us.
And what can you tell us, Paul, about those people who are in hospital with COVID, the age range of them?
We haven't seen a significant change in the age range with the Delta variant of hospitalizations. I suppose if we take a very quick snapshot of ICU, which we did over the weekend, if we have 26 people in ICU this morning, literally 22 of those would be in the age bracket 50 plus, and 4 would be in the age bracket of 19 to 30. So we are seeing young people equally being hospitalised. I think that's an important message for everybody. The age profile hasn't particularly shifted. I would say a couple of things on it that, you know, we've always been trying to urge caution on this one, because sometimes social media or misinformation can say, well, if you're in hospital, you're not really sick with COVID. Well, you know, you are. We have a lot of people needing high acute care, respiratory support, and sometimes obviously ICU. So strong message for me this morning is for everybody to please continue to do what we are doing and treating this Delta virus serious. And we'll continue the pace that we're at to protect everybody against it. But it is still a very live threat.
Yeah, and those 26 who are in ICU, they are in ICU because they have COVID.
I think the reality of it is, if you look at our hospitalizations overall, it's always a combination of people who have COVID and a combination of people who may have other illnesses that they've been admitted with and then identified as COVID. But those 26 people are being treated for COVID in ICU, which is quite significant. And I always remind people, we brought one of our clinical nurse managers, sometimes one of our press briefings, nurse manager from St. James's, Bernie Worthouse, just to describe what people were experiencing and what our nurses, frontline workers, were experiencing as people are admitted to hospital and ICU. And, you know, it is a really, really significant illness that we have to protect people against always.
No doubt about that. And the 22 who are over 50, have they all been vaccinated fully?
Yeah. It's interesting. We're doing some further analysis of all the hospitalizations and all of those in ICU, etc. What we are probably seeing is about 22%. And this is a snapshot, Audrey, so it's important not to take complete trends from this. But about 22% of those have been vaccinated. So 78% of those in ICU over the weekend haven't been vaccinated. Now, again, these are off small numbers. This can't be, you know, set out as a kind of trend right now, but it is something that we're going to monitor closely.
Okay, we will leave it there for now. Thank you very much for joining us on Morning Ireland this morning, the CEO of the HSE, Paul Reid.